नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम 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 नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading this morning from Canto 3, Chapter 5. And we'll discuss text number 3 and 4. Vidura is speaking. Vidura is addressing Maitreya after Vidura left the place where he had his dialogue with Uddhava. He then went north, the source of the Ganga in Haridwar, near Haridwar, and he's presenting questions to Maitreya. These questions in chapter 5 make up the subject matter for the next, like, canto and a half. And so these are essence questions that then get expanded. So the first verse is a description of... the first question was about what's the alternative to fruitive activity? So it's like a Bhagavad Gita 101 question. But the emphasis went to how should one live for real happiness? And the answer, the implied answer, he already knows the answer, it's to be situated in one's relationship with the personality of Godhead. So indirectly he's asking,
volume up.
Indirectly, he is asking about the personality of Godhead. Because that was the subject matter that Uddhava sent Vidura to go speak to Maitreya about. Because he also heard that same subject. He also heard the same subject. Maitreya heard the same thing. Maitreya heard Uddhava Gita firsthand. And he wants to hear that subject matter, but he's starting with this elementary level topic. So he says, "O my Lord," addressing Maitreya very respectfully, "great philanthropic souls travel on the earth on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to show compassion to the fallen souls who are averse to the sense of subordination to the Lord." The previous verse was, all persons in this world are inclined to fruitive activity, seeking enjoyment of the senses in contact with sense objects as their standard of happiness. All persons in this world are so inclined. However, there are aspiring transcendentalists also. All fruitive activity, empiric philosophy, and mysticism are more or less against the sense of subordination to the Lord. So, fruitive activity, that's very clear. The subordination to the Lord is not my main concern. My main concern is I want to enjoy. But then, there are those that may very well have understood that that's not the position of happiness. There is no real enjoyment in fruitive activity. And so by empiric speculative powers, they try to enjoy in a different way. Enjoy relief from that entanglement and fruitive activity. But in such a position, the supremacy of the personality Godhead and taking shelter of Him is not in the forefront of their thinking. It's I want, or I want, or I want. That's the mystics. Their aspiration is mystic cities. So in the language of Chaitanya Charitamrita, bhukti, mukti, siddhi kami, sakale ashanta. As long as that aspiration of I want is at the center, then one can't be peaceful. The mind becomes agitated. The real happiness, that is the natural condition of the soul, is missed. So the replacement for that is subordination to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To the degree that those three categories, fruitive activity, speculative knowledge, and mysticism, have, to the degree there's some submission unto the Supreme, to the degree we can then identify those as karma yoga and dhyan yoga, and dhyan yoga, but they're incomplete. Or the complete form is where there's full submission to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the emphasis in this verse. There's the rebellious spirit, there's the subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead spirit, and there are these in-between stages that are more or less lacking in subordination to the Supreme. It may be less, but it's still not satisfying. Unstable position. And so the verse is saying that there are saintly persons who travel about on the surface of the earth simply for the relieving that suffering condition due to lack of subordination unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Great unalloyed devotees of the Lord are compassionate toward the fallen, and therefore they travel all over the world with the mission of bringing souls back to Godhead, back to home. Such pure devotees of the Lord carry the message of Godhead in order to deliver the fallen souls. And therefore, the common man who is bewildered by the influence of the external energy of the Lord should avail himself of their association. So he's speaking that way in relation to Maitreya. And he's doing so just by addressing, O my Lord. And he doesn't say, there are such souls as you. He just says, there are such souls in this world. Therefore, O great sage, please give me instruction on the transcendental devotional service of the Lord, so that he, who is situated in the heart of everyone, can be pleased to impart from within knowledge of the absolute truth in terms of the ancient Vedic principles, delivered only to those who are purified by the process of devotional service. The frame of the question is very suitable for Maitreya. He didn't inquire the same way from Uddhava. Uddhava is on a higher spiritual platform than Maitreya. Although Maitreya was elder, Maitreya was also known as a vastly learned sage. But his quality of devotion was not equal to that of Uddhava. When he met with Uddhava, it was very personal. Oh, how is Krishna and Balaram? How are the members of the Yadu dynasty? And naming them one by one. And he was just inquiring at a very personal level. Here it's more formal. And he knows that Maitreya has, you could say, graduated or has matured in his devotion. Still, he's not referring to Krishna in his confidential personal relationship. He's referring to He who is the Lord, situated in the heart of every living being. He knows that Krishna is that manifestation in a very personal way. He knows the distinction between the Bhagavan and the Paramatma feature. But Maitreya is more of a yogi. He's addressing him that way. And what he's asking is about the process of devotional service, which, when followed properly, purifies one. And when one becomes purified, then that same Krishna who is within the heart may instruct one in a very direct and personal way. Chaita Guru. A very culturally right on, you know, very sensitive presentation by Vidura. So the purport begins by introducing this verse without reciting it. Vedanta tat tatva vidhastam yajnanam advayam. We spoke about this yesterday evening. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 11. There's stages of realization of the Absolute Truth, or there's different features of the Absolute Truth that learned personalities can realize. But the process of devotional service carries one beyond the limitations of the fruits of karma, jnana, and yoga. Only in such a purified stage does the Lord, who is seated in everyone's heart with the individual soul, give instruction so that the devotee can reach the ultimate destination of going back home, back to Godhead. That's a paraphrase of a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Who knows that verse from Bhagavad Gita? 10:10 Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, how does it... You know that verse? You take your hand away from your mouth and then recite the verse. You know by number or you know what the verse means? What does the verse mean?
Huh?
10:10, you know by number. What's the meaning? What comes next? Let's go back to 10:10 and just discuss what the meaning is. Te sham, unto those who, satata, satata means always, yuktanam, yukta, yukta means engage themselves, or they practice. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam. Bhaj? No, bhaja means, right? They worship. Bhajatam priti purvatam. Priti. What does priti mean? Priti. Love. Love and affection. Love and affection. Priti. You know some ladies or girls or women that are named Priti? It's a common name. Priti means love and affection. Purvakam, completely. So unto those who are completely, always absorbed in worshipping me with love and affection, from when Krishna sees that, dadami, I give, buddhi-yogam tam, unto that person I give them buddhi-yoga, that understanding by which They can come to me. Yena mam upiyanti te. I give them the understanding. I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. Not just intelligence, the other kind, not the material intelligence kind. Pass your exam, get good grades in school, know how to do things that you want to do to get material happiness, get out of a problem when you're stuck, or something like that. But how to come to Krishna, that kind of intelligence. So, that's only unto the devotees. Well, that means those that are not devotees, those that are absorbed in sense gratification or fruitive activity, or a little above, it's mental speculation, or the process of yoga, very advanced and mystic yogis, but without submission to the personality of Godhead, they won't understand how to go to Krishna nor how to understand Krishna. The jnanis, yogis, and karmis cannot expect this direct cooperation of the Lord. That's, you know, from the super soul from within prompting them how to come to Him. Prabhupada writes that in the case of Arjuna, Krishna directly spoke to him. In the case of Uddhava, Krishna directly spoke to him. That's the special honor or privilege of one who is a devotee, very intimate devotee of Krishna. The bhakti process, as performed under the regular principles of Vaidhi bhakti, or devotional service following the prescribed rules and regulations, is defined by the revealed scriptures and confirmed by the great acharyas. This practice can help the neophyte devotee rise to the stage of raga bhakti, in which the Lord responds from within as the Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master, as, with a capital S, super consciousness. In very simple language, compared to the technical language of that which is directly presented in the scriptures, Prabhupada is making this very elevated stage and the distinction between the regulative and the spontaneous stage of devotion very accessible for his reader, the Western people, or the people of the world that don't know Vedic culture. So there's a regulative stage described in scripture that's meant to purify. And as that purification goes further, then a spontaneous stage of devotion may awaken. And in that spontaneous stage of devotion, the Lord of the heart may begin to directly indicate things to that purified soul. Those indications from within should always be confirmed from without. And therefore, as one advances in Krishna consciousness, it's ever more incumbent upon one to become very conversant and what the teachings of the scriptures are, because without that, one can get some inspiration that's influenced by Maya instead of influenced by Krishna. And there's no check. If one is not, on the one hand, purified in heart, and the other hand, properly guided by scripture, they go hand in hand. The regular practices for purification's sake, as scriptures for proper guidance's sake. Prabhupada has compared this to the two tracks of a train. Now they have monorails, but two tracks of a train. One is that which purifies the heart, and the other is that which guides one's activity. You have one without the other, the train doesn't go very well. It doesn't go at all. So, the regulative practices of sadhana bhakti, specifically the chanting of the holy name, etc., it's for purification. And then proper guidance is in the form of the scripture. So our lives in devotion are made of these two things, not just one or the other, but two things. And both of them under the guidance of a proper teacher or spiritual master or guide or a well-wishing personality who is experienced in the ways of devotional service and how to apply it. Jnanam vijnanam astikyam. And the stage that's being emphasized here is the stage where there's direct prompting from the super soul within, guiding. Dadami bodhi yogam tam yenamam upiyati te. How to go to Krishna. Prabhupada continues, all transcendentalists, other than devotees, make no distinction between the individual soul and the super soul, because they miscalculate the super consciousness and the individual consciousness to be one and the same. In other words, they think, as I go along and become more advanced in my spiritual trajectory of life, I'll come to that stage where I also have super consciousness. And then, voila, I'm God. I don't have to advertise myself. Other people will advertise me as God. I have mystic powers and people think I'm God, or I'm very illuminated in speculative powers and people think I'm God. And making no distinction. So this is impersonalism, as we know, that there's no distinction. In fact, you know, with Mayavad philosophy, it's very explicit. Not only there's no such thing as Krishna, the personality of God, because all there is Brahman. For that matter, there's no super soul, because all there is Brahman. Wow, it's like hit the delete button. Bhagavan disappears, Paramatma disappears. All that's left is Brahman. And since aham brahmasmi, I'm God. Pretty clever, huh? We'll do it again. Bhagavan disappears. There's no distinction between the individual. They're very explicit. This thing, this notion that says there's Paramatma and there's Atma, both situated within the heart of the living being. No, no, no. You can't, because that means there's two, and you can't have two, there's only one, so it's only one. No distinction. You know, so what's the driving force behind it is, I have a strong aspiration to become God. And that's how I do it. Just philosophically dismiss Bhagavan and Paramatma. I'm God. Ta-da! All I have to do is renounce the world. So I take sannyas, and then I'm Narayan. Pretty clever, huh? Just philosophically juggling a few things, and by some philosophical jugglery, I'm God. All transcendentalists, other than devotees, make no distinction between the individual soul and the super soul, because they miscalculate the superconsciousness and the individual consciousness to be one and the same. Such miscalculation by the non-devotee makes them unfit to receive any direction from within, and therefore they are bereft of direct cooperation of the Lord. That's sad. Besides, it's wrong. They don't get that. With the bhakti, we'll say it the other way, with the bhakti process alone, there is our effort and the mercy of the personality, fully acknowledged mercy of the personality of Godhead. For every living being, the mercy of the personality of Godhead is necessary to be able to do anything. Even involuntary anything, to digest your food, or to sneeze, or to blink your eye. The personality of Godhead is necessary. The mercy of the Supreme Lord is necessary to get up and walk across the room. If that mercy is withdrawn, you can't do that. It's the simplest thing you can't do. Or to be a thief. Another example that Prabhupada gives. intelligence goes to the thief from Super Soul within. Don't go now. Someone's coming. Okay, now they've passed. Go ahead. Boom. Or the another example Prabhupada gives is the cat waiting till the lady in the house leaves the kitchen and then jumps on the counter to drink the milk. And etc. You know, everything that there is in this world. Like the example I was giving yesterday, the spider to make a spider web. How does he know how to make a spider web? There's intelligence. There's intelligence that the intelligence of the intelligent. That's Krishna. So how to do whatever one does. It's intuition. The little kitten knows to go to the mother and take the milk. They didn't go to kitten school. But they just know. it's intelligence. Prabhupada gives the example of the plant that grows towards the sun. So the scientist has his explanation, it's photosynthesis. But, you know, how does the whole photosynthesis, what's behind it? There's intelligence. Even the plant has intelligence. You know, the insect that moves across the room, he gives this example. You put your hand in front of the insect, the ant, it'll go around your hand because he wants to get to, you know, from here to A to B. There's intelligence. The birds to fly south in the winter, or the salmon to swim upstream, or, you know, whatever is going on, there's intelligence behind it. And that intelligence is supplied by Super Soul, how to fill in the blank for things, even material, that are in forgetfulness of Krishna. But for those things that can bring one to this position of true happiness, which is where his first question was. Please therefore give us directions on how one should live for real happiness. That spiritual intelligence is directly given only to the devotees. And that means one who's not a devotee doesn't get it. They get something by the mercy of Krishna. They get something. We all get something. But the spiritual attainment is only possible through the medium of devotional service. But there's a ray of hope here. After many, many births, when such a non-dualist comes to the sense that the Lord is worshipable and that the devotee is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord, then only can he surrender unto the Lord, Vasudeva. Paraphrasing. Bahunam. You know what the meaning is, right? The cause of all causes and all that is. The process of understanding the Absolute Truth adopted by the misguided non-dualist is very difficult, whereas the devotee's way of understanding the Absolute comes directly from the Lord, who is pleased by devotional service. So this is very nice. It's kind of unpacking what the process of devotional service is and why it's preferred. It's preferred because you get Krishna's direct help. Which is better? Do the math. Your effort alone or your effort and Krishna's help? Math is real easy. I'll take the second one, please. So that's devotional service. On behalf of many neophyte devotees, Vidura, at the very first instance, inquired from Maitreya about the path of devotional service by which the Lord, who is seated within the heart, can be pleased. So he's just getting the ball rolling. He's just starting with very preliminary topics. But it's explicitly for the benefit of those who are attached to fruitive activities, trying to enjoy this world. Oh, Maitreya, you're such a great soul. You're on this earth, moving about, simply to help persons become freed from that, and again connect to the personality of Godhead through devotional service. Please describe the ways of devotional service. That's the topic here. And I ask you to excuse me for a couple of minutes. We go use the restroom. Which direction is it? Okay. Right back. You can get your questions ready.
Yeah.